All right, everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
Yeah, yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. We are here with an emergency Pelican Plunge episode. I know we're not going to be doing a ton of Pelican Plunges going forward, but I figured with the news today and the fact that we didn't really have a proper closeout show when the season ended, we still got the draft to talk about, so we figured it was a good time to kind of talk about the Pelicans, especially since the Saints are off for another 3 weeks. So there's going to be really no Saints news for 3 weeks. So with NBA free agency really kicking in and the draft happening last week, we figured it's just a good time as any to get it going. So I'll be here. I'm your host today, Jason. I've got a little glass of wine, but nothing crazy. I don't have a number. I played golf earlier today, but no number right now. But joining me today will be James. James, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, mate. I'm good. I don't have any alcohol with me today. I've not long got back from the gym, and I'm going to be drinking tomorrow, so I'm saving myself up for tomorrow.
Smart. Yeah, I think I'm actually taking tomorrow off. I'm going to have a margarita tonight, but I'm going to take tomorrow off. So, with that out of the way, we will get into, we're kind of going to go through the ending of the Pel season since we didn't really get to talk about it. We had a few shows during the playoff run, but once it was over, we never got back and did kind of a final recap. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the draft, which was held last week. And then we'll get into NBA free agency and the big Zion news today. So first off, the Pelicans, they had a really good run this year. They won two play-in games, really got the excitement back in the blender, and really gave Phoenix a fighting chance. I mean, had a fighting chance against Phoenix, really kind of knocked them around a little bit, took the series to six. It was disappointing that they lost because I feel like they really could have stolen the series, but it forced Phoenix to really use a lot of their energy. I mean, Chris Paul was amazing in a couple of those final couple of games. And it showed in the next round when Phoenix lost to Dallas. You know, we took a lot out of Phoenix, more than they anticipated, surely. And so while they didn't win, it was exciting. You could really see a progression. I mean, in the last just 2 months of the season, you know, if you look at January and February, we were still odds on to not even make the play-in. And the young guys stepped up. They started getting a little more playing time. Willie adjusted his rotations. Or should I say he took Garrett Temple out of the rotation. we made the trade for CJ. We got Larry Nance Jr. back, who was really instrumental. So it was a really fun run. And even though we didn't win the series, I kind of walked away saying, like, this was a successful season as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way the season started, you know, in November, if somebody has said you're going to make the playoffs and give the number one seed a fright, and, well, look, I know we didn't beat the Suns in the series, but we ended their season. We broke them for the Mavs. Didn't we? Let's be honest. They got broken by the Pelicans and couldn't recover from what the Pels did. But if somebody would have offered you the playoffs in November, you'd have snapped their hands off, wouldn't you?
100%.
You know, I don't think the Pels are going to start next season the way they started this season that's just finished. I can't see that happening. But yeah, it was really exciting, even from afar, you know. The Pels aren't shown very often on TV over here, but then towards the end of the season, more and more and more of the games were shown, particularly, you know, in the last week and then the two playing games, they were both live on the TV over here. And, you know, people are beginning to take notice, particularly over this side of the pond, of the Pels. And now, obviously, with the news that came out today that we'll talk about later on, I think that interest is only going to grow.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, it was interesting when we got Zion. they scheduled us for a lot of national games. And even in year two, they did a lot. And then Zion was hurt. He wasn't there. So it kind of dropped off this past season. But after the run that they went on and expecting him back, I would anticipate the national game number to really ratchet back up, because this team, it's got a good young coach. It's got a good young nucleus. It's getting this superstar back who, from everything we see, appears 100% fully healthy and in great shape. There's going to be a lot of attention paid to them this year. So, and you mean you could feel it around the city. You could feel the excitement more. And look, it's been a while. I mean, it probably compares back to the first year back after Katrina, that Chris Paul year when they were the 2 seed in the West. I mean, it was a slow, process. It took a while for the city to kind of latch on to them. But then by the end of the season, it was there. I mean, they were selling out every night, and the excitement was there. Just the awareness of the Pelicans was here. So I really enjoyed the return of that. And just, man, having playoff games were awesome. It was really great to have those again.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're a season ticket holder and you go quite a lot. The last time I went, 2017, there was hardly anybody in the arena. And whilst it's fun for me as a UK fan who doesn't get to see NBA basketball very much, I was really into it and I really enjoyed it. It just didn't feel right in an empty stadium. So you'll get what I mean there, won't you? It's not the same.
No, look, if the first half of the season, you know, you go to a random Tuesday night game in December and it's maybe 10,000. It's just, you can just feel the emptiness. Like, look, the people who are there do cheer, but it's completely different. And, you know, having tickets for 15 years, I've gotten kind of used to seeing that. I remember when I first had tickets and I go to the games, I look around like, why the hell aren't more people here supporting? And that was, we had Chris Paul. We had a really, really good team, and it took a while, and they built it up, and then the team has struggled, and it's people just kind of get apathetic towards it. And it was frustrating. I guess I'm probably numb to it now, but I don't like it, but I've kind of come to accept that that's probably what it is. Now, I would hope that the start of this next season is going to be different, kind of similar to when we drafted Zion. There was excitement there. I mean, they had a rush of season ticket sales. So I don't know the season ticket holder, you know, sales numbers. I would imagine they've got to be better than last year with the run that they had. So
you'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd hope so. I mean, you know, it was every game, the two games in the playoffs were sold out.
Yeah. And even, you know, a couple of the final games of the regular season, as we were kind of making that push, they were, if not sold out, they were close to sellouts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, look, playoffs, every game is going to sell out. So the key is going to be in the fall when you still got Saints. People are still in Saints mode. But that's kind of a key. If they can get off to a hot start next year, it should keep the building, maybe not full every night, but a lot more full than it.
Your Friday, Saturday, Sunday games are probably going to be sellouts most of the time, I would say. I mean, it's, you know, I know it's the Pelicans show, but there's a chance that both the Pelicans and the Saints could be good next year.
I definitely see that happening. I don't anticipate otherwise. So might want to put in a FanDuel futures bet, Saints and Pelicans to win the title. I bet you could get pretty damn good odds.
I'm not sure you're going to have any trouble shifting any tickets this year, put it that way.
No, definitely not. And look, there are some weeks where they've got a game Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's tough to go to three games a week. I get it. And, but yeah, it should be easier, even if I don't sell them, at least to get friends that are interested. Cause that was kind of the problem too. I'd send out a text. Hey, anybody want my Pels tickets for tonight or tomorrow night? And I just get nothing, just silence.
Yes, it's not great, that is it.
Silence, and that's been part of the problem. Unfortunately, people haven't cared a lot. So hopefully, this playoff run kind of rejuvenated it. And look, I mean, this team is clearly trending upward. I mean, there's no reason to not expect improvement going forward. So
no, but yeah, it's very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah. So so with that, then we move into the NBA draft, which, of course, as part of the Anthony Davis trade, we were fortunate enough to get the 8th overall pick from the Lakers. So thank you, Lakers. Thank you for sucking.
Yep. And if you could continue to suck for another couple of years, that'd be really good.
I mean, look, they're pretty strapped because Westbrook opted in. So they've got Davis, Westbrook, and LeBron taking up 85 to 90% of their salary. I mean, they signed Lonnie Walker, a young player from the Spurs for $6.5 million, but he's another clutch client. The Lakers currently have 7 players represented by Clutch Sports. That's Rich Paul. That's LeBron's boy. LeBron's basically co-owns the agency with him.
I did read a story where it said that LeBron intends to carry on playing until his son comes out of college, and whatever team drafts him, he's going to go and play for them for the last year so he can play with his son for the year.
That's what he said. So good luck to him, I guess. But
yep. How many more picks do we own of theirs?
So I think two. I think one of them is probably a pick swap.
Yeah.
But I think we own next year's, and then maybe the following year is a pick swap. And if we don't swap, we get, I don't know. There's been so many picks I've lost track. And then I've lost track of, have we traded them away? I mean, I know we traded away one of the Bucks picks.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Lakers pick was in the lottery this year, or it was top 10 this year, meant that we kept it. And one of those trades worked out for us because we offered the Lakers pick. And if it wasn't in the top 10, it would have gone to maybe either Portland or Memphis. I think it might have gone to Memphis.
Yeah. The NBA whole trade picks. I mean, I saw, was it for in the DeJounte Murray trade, that there was a pick in 2028 that was traded? 6 years away.
It is pretty wild that that's kind of now what this, what, you know, when you trade a superstar in the NBA, it now involves multiple first-round picks and pick swaps. Now, granted, they're not as valuable as, say, a first-round pick in the NFL, but they're just like, yeah, just take a boatload of picks and we'll see what happens. And they're going so far out that it's really beneficial to the team that's trading the superstar, because more than likely one of these years, the team that expects to have a draft pick in the high 20s is going to be picking in the top 10. That's kind of just the way it goes, whether injury or whether some bad things just happen. I mean, you saw it with the Lakers. So, and I don't anticipate the Lakers being any better next year.
No.
I mean, Davis is still Davis. He's going to miss 20 to 30 games. LeBron's just a year older. Westbrook doesn't seem to work. I mean, they want to try to make a trade, but who the hell wants – nobody wants to take on Westbrook and his $47 million salary.
That's a lot of money for not as much output as you would have given you 5 years ago.
I mean, if you look at it, the Lakers' best option would probably be to trade LeBron James. That's the most value.
Yeah.
But he's not going to leave L.A., not after doing everything to get there. Or maybe trade Anthony Davis. But even he doesn't have the value that he had when we traded him.
No. We robbed them blind.
So, and with one of those picks, the Pelicans took Dyson Daniels out of the G League Unite. He's from Australia, 19 years old. A really, really great defender. He's a big guard. He's 6'7.5". And because he's only 19, he's probably going to get a little taller than that. He's probably going to end up 6'8", 6'9". Really great defender. His shot isn't exactly there yet, but the Pelicans have the shot doctor in Fred Vincent. So I'm not worried.
They probably also don't need their point guard to be a shooter.
Maybe not immediately. I mean, eventually he's going to learn to be in the NBA. He's going to have to learn how to shoot. But But I'm not really worried about it. He's got good court vision, good awareness. He seems to have really high basketball IQ, and he's a lockdown defender. And if you're going to be playing, you know, if he's going to have minutes with CJ, who's a good scorer, not necessarily a good defender, it's going to be good to have a good defender with him. So I was happy to get this pick. I know some people were talking about maybe we should trade the pick. I did not want to trade the pick at all. And that's another topic we'll get into in a little bit. So many different Twitter reactions. It got a little
we're going to have a Twitter rant again.
No, I mean, it's coming. So I was happy to get Daniels there. And then in the second round, they took EJ Liddell, who, was a great player at
Ohio State.
The New Orleans pro team drafted another Ohio State player.
Yeah.
Was Mickey Loomis in the draft room?
Yeah.
So he wasn't even, I mean, he was projected to go in the first round. So the Pelicans didn't even bring him in for workout. They didn't think he was going to be there. So this was an amazing get for them. For a second round guy, I definitely anticipate him being on the roster. The one thing, you know, the roster's already got 14 guaranteed contracts, so they're going to have to do something, whether it be a trade or whether it just be an outright release. I mean, Garrett Temple is the obvious candidate to get rid of.
The trade candidate is probably Devontae Graham, isn't it? He's the one trade candidate that you might...
Devontae Graham, and I mean, I guess possibly Jackson Hayes, just because you don't know what his... You know, he's got one more year left on his rookie deal. I can't imagine. I don't think we're going to extend him now. I mean, I don't really want to get rid of him. A lot of people are very ready to get rid of Jackson Hayes, and I'm not there yet.
No, nor me. No, I quite like him.
And, I mean, look, even Graham, look, I don't, with all the guards we have on this team now, I don't think the Graham necessarily fits, but we signed him to play with Zion, and he never got to play with Zion. So do you start him on the roster in the season, see if maybe it clicks a little bit, and then maybe you have a little more value if you do need to trade him later. I suppose
you've got the option of putting the rookies in the league, haven't you? The G League.
Yeah, the G League. I guess you could put Liddell in the G League, but at some point he may play there just to get minutes, you know, to get activity. I mean, even you saw it last year.
Jackson Hayes went there last year, didn't he?
Jackson Hayes and Trey Murphy went. You know, Trey Murphy went up and down. If they have a break, they'd send him down just so he could get some playing time. So,
yeah,
that'll be a possibility for sure. But they are in a good spot. They also had another second-round pick who's going to be staying in Europe. Markovic.
I think it was Markovic, wasn't it?
Markovic. So we're not going to see him for a while. We'll just have his rights. And, I mean, not that they really needed a player. I mean, I was almost surprised that they kept all their second round picks, considering who's on the roster now, and there's not really a bunch of space. But I guess once Liddell was sitting there, they just couldn't pass on him.
No, you're right. And you know, it's not been the Pelicans' way of having a decent roster where you're deciding who to cut, is it? You know, there's going to have to be a fairly tough decision made, I think, at some point to get all these players on the roster. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I think this is the deepest team that they've had since I've had tickets. Maybe even since they've been in New Orleans. This is definitely the deepest team. So
I mean, your starting five is probably fairly self-explanatory, isn't it? But you know, even your bench now is really strong. Really strong.
I mean, look, you're going to have guys that played really well for us last year that probably are never going to play. I mean, Najee Marshall, he's not going to get a bunch of minutes. Hernan Gomez was very solid when we needed him. I don't know how many minutes he's going to get. You're going to have to – I mean, that's the thing. You got to find minutes for Alvarado. You got to find minutes for Murphy. You know, these young players that you expect to get better have earned more minutes. I mean, that was one thing – the Pelicans had the most rookie minutes in the playoffs by far.
Yep.
And those guys rose to the occasion. It was great to get the experience with these guys, and you only anticipate them getting better. I mean, they shouldn't get worse. So
No, absolutely.
It's going to be a juggling act for Willie to figure out how to delve up the minutes, especially now you add Zion to the mix. I mean, that's another 30 minutes a game you got to figure out. So, I mean, in that sense, maybe that's what would bring up a question with Jackson, especially since he played so well at the four last year and not the five. But you also have Larry Nance Jr., who I really like and played really well. So how do you delve up these power forward minutes? And that's Liddell, he's power forward. So
the starting lineup then, I think it's fairly self-explanatory, isn't it? CJ, Brandon Ingram, Zion, Herb, Jonas. That's your starting five, right? Or have I missed?
No, I mean that's probably it. Yeah. So yeah, because they're not none of those guys are gonna Yeah, that, I mean, that's it. You're not benching any of those guys, right?
No.
I mean, well, you can't. Sure,
I mean, Herb Jones is probably the only one that. But I mean, he played so well as a rookie. You're going to see a rookie jump. You're going to see a jump next year from Herb Jones, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to see a jump from him, Murphy. I mean, Alvarado. I mean, I guess with that lineup, you don't really, you don't have a true point guard, but maybe you don't need it. Because I don't think they're going to go back to doing the whole point Zion thing. I don't think that's going to be a thing.
He needs to be in the paint, three men on him, and then kicking it out, Ingram, CJ.
I guess it will be interesting to see how Zion and Valanciunas play together since they're both down in the paint. It's a good problem to have, but it's going to be interesting, the floor spacing. I mean, maybe he brings I don't know. Maybe he brings Valanciunas off the bench. I don't know. It's funny. Like, I never really thought about the starting rotation next year and what it's going to look like, how it's going to fit. There may be some. I mean, there may be a guy that comes off the bench that you just wouldn't expect.
Yeah. It's a long way. It's a long. We've come a long way since the days of Etwan Moore and Solomon Hill. And...
Oh man, Omer Asik.
Omer Asik, yeah.
Oh Jesus! And yet I sat in the arena for those lineups. God, what was that?
Yeah, and now look, you've got CJ 20 points a game, Brandon Ingram 25 points a game, Zion when he last played 27 points a game. Yeah, you know. Herb Jones with his lockdown defense. I mean, the only, I suppose the big worry with that starting five is, aside from Herb Jones, the defense is a bit, CJ's not the best defender, is he?
CJ's not. Ingram improved, but Zion was lacking on defense when he played before, and he's missed a season, so that could be an issue. I mean, maybe that's one of the, like, you know, maybe they switch around the lineups a little bit. Maybe they insert a Alvarado or a Murphy. Maybe they bring CJ off the bench.
You know, yeah.
You know, maybe you go with, you know, Alvarado and I guess Ingram at the two, Herb at the three, Zion four.
Jonas five.
And then you bring CJ in with Trey Murphy and
Jackson Hayes, I guess.
Dyson Daniels. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jackson Hayes. Yeah.
These are great problems to have.
It is. Look, the one thing you could say about this team, there is a lot of athleticism on this team.
There's going to be a lot of Sports Center top 10 highlights from this team.
On offense, and then it's going to be, there are some lineups we're going to throw out there. It's going to be hard to score on them.
Yeah.
Really hard. So, yes. I mean, speaking of that, obviously the big news of the day, Zion, nearing on the 5-year max extension. It's funny, they say worth up to $230 million, but that's if he makes an all NBA team. It's going to be similar. John Morant just got one. It's basically 193 guaranteed, and then if he makes an all NBA team, he gets the escalators. Which
is not just one. Is that just one all NBA?
It may be two. I don't know the specific rules because Ja's already made one. Yeah, he was on the All-NBA team this year. So I think if he does it again next year, then it bumps up. So I'm pretty sure it's at least two. So it's 190-something, going to be up to 231. Apparently, they're still negotiating possible injury protections, you know, probably similar to what Philly did with Embiid when they did his first one.
That's sensible, though, given what's happened in the first 3 years, isn't it? It is sensible. Yeah, we're never going to offer him fully guaranteed max contract you've played 85 games in 3 years.
And look, it's still going to be a lot of guaranteed. I mean, it's probably still going to be 100, maybe 100, 140, 150 million guaranteed for sure. It's just going to be, you know, probably maybe like a season's worth of salary just in case something happens. So I know there was worry about would he still sign it? Would he not? I mean, the good thing is the playoff run that they had totally changed his mind. I mean, if they would have had another season like the last one with Van Gundy, he probably, there's a good chance he probably doesn't. sign it.
But I don't know if you saw, there was a tweet from a friend of the show, Jeff Duncan, earlier on, where he said that the turnaround in the last 6 months has been astounding because people in the organization thought the relationship was irreparable 6 months ago.
Wow. It was in a dark place, that's for sure.
I mean, but he was nowhere near the team, was he? No. He wasn't in the city. He wasn't coming to games. He wasn't doing anything. And it all seemed to change when CJ was traded for.
We got an adult in the room.
We did.
I mean, that's...
And he's just basically said, look, generational talent here. You need to speak to him. And then he's spoken to them and said, look, this team is going places. Look at what we've got. Young core. You at the forefront of it. Mm-hmm. Let's go cause some mayhem. And I think that's what's happened.
Yeah. And lucky he came back and he got to experience the run with all the guys. He's in the locker room. He's really been out in the city a lot the last month or so.
He's been dunking on kids, hasn't he?
YMCO. Yeah. He looks to be in crazy shape. Just fingers crossed he doesn't fucking injure himself doing this. But
it
is great to see him out here and embracing the community. And that's what he needed to do. But he's definitely bought in now. It is kind of wild how quickly it turned around. Combination of Willie Green, CJ McCollum, and the young draft picks playing so well and us making that run. It's maybe saved the franchise.
The hire of Willie Green as coach has definitely saved the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
100% saved the franchise because, you know, it's just a shame that they didn't choose him the year earlier because he was interviewed the year before, wasn't he? And they went with Stan Van Gundy instead, didn't they?
Yeah.
We'd now be into year three of Willie Green. And I think, but they got there in the end.
Yeah, look, I didn't like the Van Gundy hire when it happened, but at least they cut their losses. They cut their losses after the first year, and so yeah, it's great to have him on board. And you know, we're in the midst of NBA free agency, a lot of dollars being thrown around, all of these trades, max extensions going
trade
out.
Trade speculation.
A lot of trades. Kevin Durant now wants out because he went to Brooklyn and it didn't work out. So of course, I mean, that's what these guys do now. They don't get the, I mean, he brought in James Harden. That didn't work. The Kyrie Irving situation. I mean, I don't know what the fuck's going on with that. Kyrie's just a weirdo, even though he's coming back this year, but now Kevin Durant wants out. And of course they're, you know, NBA people and Twitter people are looking around. Hey, where can he go? Who's got enough assets to even trade for him? We do. But yeah. I want nothing to do with him.
No.
Nothing to do with him. And I really hate, not just a Durant trade, even just the last couple of weeks, a lot of Pel's Twitter is just like, oh, we should trade this for that. We should trade this for that. This for that. I'm like, slow down. We just made this run with this young team. Now we're getting Zion thrown into it. I don't want to do anything. I want to run everybody back and just see what you got. Like, there's no reason to try to trade something before even knowing completely what you have right now. I mean, other than maybe trying to get off of Devontae Graham, which I could kind of understand. I just don't understand it, especially when you look at the history of this franchise. You know, when Dell Demps was running things and when Benson bought him, we tried to do the quick way out. We tried to speed up the process and it failed spectacularly. And now you kind of want to do the same thing with Kevin Durant. Just sorry. I want none of it. He's 34 years old. He's coming on either year 16 or 17 in the league. So he's got a bunch of miles on him, a lot of playoff games. He's had a couple of major injuries. And sure, he's great, but he's only going to get worse. I just don't understand. Like, everybody's like, oh, well, you get a chance to get Kevin Durant. You bring him in and you're an instant contender. Yeah, for what, two years? What if it doesn't work out? And then he just wants to leave again.
Yeah.
So you might get 2 years, maybe. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Why? So my issue with what I've been seeing is the amount of Pelicans fans that are all in on this and really want us to try and trade for him. Why would you trade as much as you're going to need to trade for him for one, maybe 2 years of success, and you know, Yes, if he was on the roster, there's a fairly good chance we might win. There is, because he is a good player. But with the way the roster's stat set now, we could be on for 5 to 7 years of success and deep playoff runs, Western Conference titles, NBA titles. You know, I may be going a bit too far there, but, you know, aside from Jackson Hayes, I think the young core of this team, and now once Zion signed his extension, are all locked up until at least 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it keeps your window open longer. And I mean, sure, look, there's a good chance you can win it with Durant. There's also a good chance that we don't win it. I mean, look, it's hard. It's extremely hard to win a championship.
Especially in the West.
Right. It's extremely hard. So if you trade for him and you fail, you're going to be, you know, where are you in 3 or 4 years? You back to a rebuild. Whereas if you stick with what you're doing now, I mean, yeah, look, you may turn into a team like the Jazz or somebody like that who makes the playoffs every year, doesn't necessarily do much. Although I, being a crazy optimistic fan, I think we'll do more than that, but at least you'll have more chances. I mean, let's say you keep this core together mostly for like a 7 year run, let's say, you know, you get 7 chances. 1 year, it might just break your way.
Yep.
Or if the, you know, Willie, you know, I mean, that's the one thing too. Like, Willie was a first year coach last year. We had 3 first year guys. This team is so young. There's still so much growth that they can have. They can even get better than what we saw. And if all the pieces seem to be in place, I mean, there's no reason we can't go on a crazy dynasty and win. You know, why not win a couple titles?
Exactly.
And after watching us go through the failed rushed experiments, I would rather watch us do it this way. And that's the one thing David Griffin preached: grow something that's sustainable.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to see it torn down for a guy like fucking Kevin Durant, who, I mean, hell, who even, like, he may get aggravated with the fan base. You know, New Orleans people can be pretty finicky. We're not very kind. Kevin Durant has shown to have a pretty, pretty thin skin. So I don't know. I don't want it.
Well, yeah. Saints Twitter and Pel's Twitter have both become, you know, funny places to be. But I'm in complete agreement with you. Stay the hell out of that. Stay the hell out of that trade. Keep this young core together. We don't need to tear it down. They need to go for it. You know, look, you're talking about being optimistic. I'd say the floor is 6th seed for this team this year if everybody stays healthy. The floor is the 6th seed.
Yeah, we wouldn't be any worse than that. There's no way. I mean, hell, I would almost say 5 or 4 if with relative strong health for everybody. I just don't see how we're not a top 4 team.
No, you just go. So like I said, CJ's 20 points. Brandon Ingram's 25 points. Zion's 27 points. There's 70 points already a game. And then you're just looking for.
Right. You know, pieces, you know, Trey Murphy could average, you know, double digits. You know, he's going to get some growth. Herb Jones is going to average double digits. I mean, Alvarado can average 10 points a game.
Jonas, I mean, you know, he was a double-double.
Yeah.
You know, there's last year.
You know, the shooting aspect, you know, that was their one problem last year. They didn't have quite enough shooting. And, you know, Daniels doesn't really address that, but maybe you get, I mean, maybe, you know, more minutes from Murphy. Herb Jones can maybe improve his shooting. Maybe, you know, the one that was having Zion in the middle, it should open up more wide open looks from three. I mean, that's another thing too. We should get a lot.
He's going to garner attention in the paint.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be double teamed, maybe even triple teamed when he's driving. They're going to need 3 people around him to stop him, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to get a lot more open looks this year. So maybe just the sheer increased number of open looks increases the shooting overall.
We can but hope.
I don't think I've ever been excited for a season since probably after that first Hornets season back here.
There's
a big level of excitement now.
But you've got to wait till October.
Yeah, unfortunately. But it's okay. We'll have some Saints in the meantime.
When does the Summer League start? It's next week, isn't
Ooh,
it?
Oh, yeah, League? Next week, yeah.
Summer League's next week, isn't it? Now, am I right in thinking that Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, and Jose Alvarado can play in the Summer League because they're only in their second year? Is that
they
right?
They can. Herb is not on the roster. So
Herb isn't, right.
Right, he's been so good. And Alvarado and Murphy are. I don't expect them to get a ton of playing time. You know, they may play a little bit, but yeah, yes, I'm mostly looking to see Daniels and Liddell and, you know, a bunch of other guys who won't make the team. But, you know, I mean, I would say Murphy may get a little more run than Jose, but I mean, maybe not. I don't expect him to play a ton just because I think we know what we've got in him.
Yeah. But that's very, very interesting that they've just said to Herb, like, nah, you're good. Have a holiday.
I mean, that's it. Yeah. That's how good. It's crazy. That's how good he was.
I did see a video actually where I saw that so obviously the rookies have been in training. I don't know whether that's like an official training camp or whether they can just turn up and practice whenever they want. Different to the NFL, but
yeah, they came in and got introduced to the media.
Yeah,
either yesterday or the day before. Yeah.
But Jackson Hayes was there with them. He was training with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of the guys are in working already, and that's good. The commitment is great to see from all these young guys.
Yeah.
So they definitely seem to be focused and locked in. The benefit of Willie Green. I mean, that's really where it all comes down to. I mean, that was probably a job. It was a job saving hire for David Griffin. Job saving hire.
Yeah, it was an absolute home run. And, you know, we said it on previous podcasts. I think it's going to compare to the hiring of Peyton back in 2006 to turn the franchise around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, really changed the culture. Really changed the culture around here.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, roll on October.
That's right. So I guess that'll probably be it for us for a while. You know, we didn't have a lot of shows this year, but at the end of the season, we had our little we were motivated. We had our little run of shows.
I think one a week when the season starts is a fair target to aim for.
Yeah. I think especially, you know, get off to a good start. And even if it's just 15 minutes to talk about a couple of the
good
games,
Zion is.
Well, that's it. Yeah, look, I know I forgot to turn on my video. I do have my Zion show. So hopefully by the time this goes out, the Zioning. That's good. Designing. That's going to be the name of the episode. Designing.
Yeah. Yep.
Hopefully that's official and we'll just roll forward. So yeah. In terms of Pelicans, we won't see you for a while, but we'll be still producing our same shows. I'm not even going to go through the spiel, but I'll ask.
I do believe that we are recording one on Monday,
4th of July. That's right. We have to. Got a rub in your face. So, any final Pelicans thoughts?
No, not particularly. Just on the the Durant thing. Please don't ruin what's being built there. It's not needed. Let him go and be somebody else's problem. And yeah, that team he goes to might win the title this year. Then fair enough, but he'll only be there for 1 or 2 years, whereas in 5 years' time, this team will still be competing.
Yep, that's the thing. You got to build it right, do it right. You can't rush things. We've learned this mistake once before. So
yeah, and they're not going to do it again. Hopefully.
Hopefully, right? Fingers crossed. So that's all the time we have for you today. We'd like to thank you guys for listening to us, enjoying our little Pelican plunge. We'll be back with some more Saints talk over the next few weeks, and then Saints training camp will. End of the month. It's crazy. We're already in July now. So
we are 18 days away from the rookies reporting for training camp.
That's wild. That is wild.
Yeah, but every day we go is one day closer to October the 2nd, Jason.
That's right. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so am I.
So excited. So that's all the show we have for you today. And check us out on Twitter, Don't Patrol PCast at Don't Patrol UK. I'm not going to get into the TikTok because I don't use TikTok. You can go the old fashioned way, Don't Patrol Podcast.com. And say bye bye, Zion Donkeys.
I'm not going to do that because I haven't thought of anything to say.
Good enough.
Is Eddie okay? I don't know.